In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read in verse 4 and 5, it says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." So this sufficiency means ability to do a thing. So God is our ability to do the things that he wants us to do, that he's called us to do. I think we can find ourselves not having those needs met when we're doing things in our own strength. God has called each one of us to look to him, to trust him. He's given us his spirit. We've got God in Christ in us. It says in Romans 8:14, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And when we're doing those things that God has called us to do, when we're being led by that Spirit, then the needs get supplied, not just for us, but for the things that we're doing, the application of what God wants us to do. Other people's need will also get met. So God wants us to trust him with all things in our life and walk. And God wants us to be able to meet all of our needs so we have the ability to do. So when we trust God and lean not to our own understanding, then he can release to us the things we need to live our life that he has called us to. And God has called us to a great life. He's called us to live a life which is more and abundant. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy through the Holy Spirit. He wants to have our provisions met and supplies so that we can carry out the work of the ministry. And God is not lack, is a God of lack. He's not, in other words, he's willing to take care of us, but he wants us to keep him first. He wants us to go to him. The Father does not want us to rely on our own ability, but his. That's the only condition, that we rely on him. We need to cease from our own works and allow God to go to work for us. And as we play our part in our relationship with God, he'll do it his part. See, we are fellow laborers together with God. It's not that we decide what we're going to do and how we're going to minister or how we're going to witness or how we're going to minister healing, but we are led by the Spirit of God. We've got his word in our heart and we got his Spirit, and God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when we become humble and have humility and the dependency upon God to show us what to do, and we act upon those things he shows us, then the needs get met. And God wants all of the needs met for each individual and the body of Christ, but we have to do our part. And in Proverbs chapter 5, we all know this record, but I thought it was great to go over it again, just to remind us, just to keep us strong on the fundamentals of what we've learned. You know, we constantly need to keep ourselves reminded of what God says. We keep our hearts filled with his truth. We set our affections on things above. We rehearse the things that God says, not rehearse what we see in front of us or what we hear somebody else has to say. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord." That's our part. We're to trust in him. We're to rely on him. We're to depend upon him with all thine heart. So every aspect of your will, mind and emotions, God wants you to trust him. And it says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Don't try and figure everything out for yourself. Don't think what is the best way to teach, what is the best way to minister, what is the best way to give. We just do what God puts in our heart and according to his word. In verse 6 it says, "In all thy ways," everything that you're doing, "acknowledge him." He wants you to acknowledge him. He wants you to put him first, and he shall direct thy path. So when we acknowledge God, when we do our part, then he will show us the path that we're to take. He'll show us the things that we need to do. He'll show us the things that we need to minister, where we're to help, where we're to speak, where we're to preach, where we're to be a blessing. Let him lead you. And verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Well, I know the answers. I got the solutions. No, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord and depart from evil. See, when we do things in our own strength, effort, and ability, it's kind of evil. You know, it's like Jeremiah, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out their own cisterns." So when we start doing things in our strength, it's like forsaking God, where the supply is, where the direction is, where the answers are, where the solution is. And then we hew out our own systems. We can make our own systems of doctrine. We can make our own systems of how to preach, how to do ministry work, how to outreach. But God wants us to go to him. He wants us to look to him and be led by him. And he knows the perfect way for us to minister. He knows the perfect things for us to speak and to teach and to preach. He really wants us to trust him in what everything that we're doing, and that we keep a humble heart with him. So be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, of all your avenues of blessings that God has blessed you with. God wants you to honour him. And that's one thing we have to do. And we honour him with a generous heart. If you look at these Hebrew words of honour and substance and first fruits and increase, you can see it's with an abundance, with a generous heart. And in verse 10 it says, so shall, if you do this, if you do your part. See, there's a part we have to play in this, and there's a part that God plays. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God is saying, look, if you do what I instruct you to do, then I can supply all your need. I can get my supply to you, because you're following from an obedient heart and a loving heart and a trusting heart. Then I can provide everything that you need, and you don't have to do it from the sweat of your brow, but you're doing it because you're looking to me. In Psalms 84, verse 11, if you'd like to go there, is another wonderful record. And it says in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace, favour, and glory. See, this is the heart of God. So God is our sun, and he's our shield, and he will give grace, favour, and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, that's walking the word of God, that's being led by the Spirit, that's keeping the word in their heart, that are doing the things that God's showing them to do, keeping to his word. And then God is going to bless you. He said, I'm not withholding anything from you. God is not a withholder. He's a supplier. And he is the supplier of all of our needs when we meet the conditions. And it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So the sun is in a perfect position, and it supplies us with energy, it supplies us with life-giving heat, light, and without the sun and without our God, we would not exist. That's how important God is to you. Just as the sun supplies the energy to the earth and the light for the day and the heat for the day, God is our supply. And God supplies all our needs. He will not withhold anything good from them that walk uprightly. Our God is a mighty God. And God is referred to in the scriptures as El Shaddai, which is the Lord God Almighty. He is the all-sufficient one, right? There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that's impossible to our Heavenly Father. And when we trust him, and when we believe him, and when we follow him, and when we're being led by him, he supplies everything. So our Heavenly Father nourishes and satisfies and supplies for his people. He is our power and strength. Our God is an all-powerful God with every resource for every believer. And God really is. He really wants to take care of you. And he's showing us, and from what we can learn from the Old Testament scriptures also, how he supplies every need. I just want you to go to Psalms 23. It's just really just a fantastic record. And it shows that God is the source of all of David's supply. And he's also the source of all our supply. And in verse 1 it says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So a shepherd leads his sheep. God wants to lead us. But if we're going our own way, then we're going to come away from where we're going to get our need met. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Who does it? He does it. God makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If you're in rough waters right now, are you being led by God? If you're in dried up pastures, are you being led by God? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? And it's a question we all have to ask ourselves at times in our walk. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. Who does it? He does it. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, even when we're going through our darkest times or our lowest valleys, God is with us. And when we're trusting him, we don't have to be afraid. When we're trusting him, we know that he's going to take care of us in every category, in every area. verse 5, it says, Thou, God, preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So even in the presence of our enemies, God prepares our table before them. Why? To show them that God is with us, to show them that we have a good, mighty, powerful God who takes care of us in all of our situations. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, there's an abundance with God. He doesn't withhold from us when we do what's right before him. When our heart is right before him, when we're seeking him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, when we're loving him with all our heart, mind and strength, when we're loving others as we love ourselves, he's going to take care of us. Verse 6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because David is doing those things that God wants him to do. And God is providing everything for David. God is actually doing all the work. He's providing everything he needs. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we can see these great, great records. And it's good to remind yourself of them. It's good to go over them. Even if you've read them a million times before, God wants you fresh. God wants us to be blessed. And he really wants us to rest in him, not to try and figure out everything for ourselves. How we're going to move forward, how we're going to provide for our families, how we're going to take care of our retirement age or what career we need. God has got everything supplied for you, and when you're in alignment with him, then that supply comes to you. In Jeremiah 32 and in verse 26 and 27, I love this, it says in verse 26, Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Sometimes we could be going through stuff, or we can be out of focus with God, and we think that not even God can sort this situation out. Not even God can remedy my problem. Not even God has got the answers for this one. Not even God can deliver me out of this situation. I've been in too many situations for God to deliver me. Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. And when you believe him, and when you're doing what he's shown you to do, then he will come through for you. See, all the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. And they're received by faith, by believing. With believing, there's confidence and trust in God's ability to perform and do for you as you trust him and as you do the things that he wants you to do. There's another great record in Psalms 145. And in verse 3 it says, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. If you think of all the greatness and the great truths of his word, they're unsearchable. They're untrackable. All his riches are untrackable. God is a mighty God. You can't put God in a box. You can put yourself in a box, but you cannot put God in a box. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now unto him, God, that is able. See, our God not only is willing, but he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. It's according to his power that worketh in us, and according to what you ask or think. If you're asking and thinking according to the scriptures and God's word to you and his promises, you're going to get them. And when you stay in trust and stay in faith with him, then he's going to come through and he's going to answer your prayer exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But you have to trust. You have to believe. That's your part to do. And it's just very simple. And I think sometimes we can get things complicated. And God just wants us to keep things very simple. So as a lovely Heavenly Father, God wants to take care of his children. And he is willing. And he is able to do that. We see that in the life of Abraham. We've seen that in the life of all his faithful men and women that were all in different situations, all went through difficult times. And God took care of them. He protected them. He gave them health and strength. And he provided for them. If you think of the children of Israel, their clothes didn't even get old. 40 years wandering in the wilderness, he provided manna for them. He provided water out of rocks. He provided cover by day and cover by night. He opened the sea for them. Who done the work? God done the work. When we try and take care of it, we mess up. We allow the adversary to come in to steal, kill and destroy when we try and figure out everything. But we got to allow God to do his work. And in the meantime, we just keep trusting him daily. And doing those things that are right. We don't become weary in well doing. We don't faint in our mind. But we keep strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We put on all those resources. All the armor of God. We gird up the loins of our minds. We have the heart of faith, and we got the word of God as our shield and our sword. And so, no, God wants us to keep him first so that he can bless us, he can get his work accomplished by us. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able. So we know God is an able God. He's not a disabled God. He's not on benefits. He hasn't got a simmer frame or a walking stick. God is able to make all grace, favor, abound toward you, that you always, not sometimes or maybe, but always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God, see, God wants to supply you so that you can abound to every good work. He doesn't want you to lack, okay? He doesn't want you to go without. He doesn't want you to be needy. Only needy for him. That's the biggest thing that we can be, is have a great need for God in our life daily, to seek his heart, to seek his will, to seek his way, and what he wants us to do. So when challenges come up, you know, we can be tempted to lose sight of God. Okay, but God has the solutions. And we just need to go to him. We just need to keep him first. And we don't want to get into those broken systems. Like I say, we can be tempted to freak out. We can be tempted to work something out of our own self because we're under pressure. But again, it's like forsaking the fountains of living water. Let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 2 is a great record. And in verse 13 it says, for my people, he's not talking about unbelievers, he's talking about his people, have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. He has that endless supply of answers and direction and abundance, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So when we try to figure out our own way of how we're going to do things with God, how we're going to move with God, then we end up becoming like a broken cistern, and the power when we need it isn't going to be there. When we rely on God, we trust in him, we're going to him, then that supply, that provision, whatever you need so that you can abound to every good work, is going to be supplied to him. So the more we look at the problem facing us, the more we become anxious. But when we look to God and trust his word to us, we will see the answers and releases. And your answers and your releases are coming. You've got to keep your mind focused. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. We've got to trust the Lord. Isaiah 55 is another great record. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's a great time to seek God, and it's a great time to call upon his name. Reminds me of Jeremiah 33:3. Was it, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. We need to call upon him. We need to ask him what he wants us to do. We need to ask him for the direction that he'd have us take, and not just march on thinking that we got the right path and the right way. Because sometimes we could forget. But God wants us to keep him first in all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need shall be added unto you. He wants us to take care of you, but he wants you to keep him first. He wants you to trust in him. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. We've got to forsake our way of doing things, and the unrighteous man his faults, and let him return unto the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, if you've been doing things in your own strength, if you've been doing things in your own way, and just say, hey, Lord, sorry, I got carried away there, but you lead me, you guide me, you show me what you want me to do. Verse 8 says, for my faults are not your faults, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my faults than your faults. Wow, what a mighty God. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and his glory by Christ Jesus. What I want to do now is look at two records where God met the needs of his people, met the needs of his men. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's just a really wonderful record, these Second Kings. And we'll read it from verse 1. And it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So this woman, who was a widow, her husband was a prophet. and he loved God and he followed God, and obviously this prophet must have passed away, and because she's a widow, and so she's there with her two sons, and she's got into some debt, and she's in trouble. And you might be in some debt right now, and you might be in some trouble. But if you seek God on it, he'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to be a good steward. He'll show you how to get your debts to a place where that you can easily afford to pay them and live at the same time. Because God doesn't want you to be in lack. He's a loving God. You're his kid. You're a child of the king, right? He loves you. The creators of the heaven and the earth, he's taking care of you. And he wants you to be blessed. And when we get humble before God and seek his way and what to do in a situation, then he can provide the answers for you. And everyone's situation is different. But when you go to God, he will really take care of you. He's your sufficiency. But he wants you to trust in him. And when we're in situations where you may have debt or you may have lack, then it's so easy to turn to your own way through fear. Oh, I need to get this sorted out. What am I going to do? I don't want the creditors to come around. I'm going to sell everything in my house. You might not need to do that if you go to God, because God can show you what to do. And then if you don't know what to do, you're not hearing the voice of God, you can go to someone that is walking with God, and they can help you and show you what to do. And this is exactly what this widow woman done. Verse 2, and it says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. So here's the man of God, and he's given this woman instructions what she should do. If she didn't follow this out, if she wasn't humble in her heart, she was humble enough to go to the man. And a lot of people are humble enough to go to someone that can give them instructions, but they're not humble to follow out the instructions. But we'll see that this woman was humble to follow out Elijah's instructions. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So she got all they got all the pans and the vessels that they could get. And as soon as they were all filled up, the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. And I just think that's just so wonderful how God worked in his man, who gave the word for this lady. So this lady's needs and her son could be met, that her sons weren't put in prison, that she wasn't left destitute. And this is God's kids. These are God's kids. She was a widow or a wife of a prophet. And God took care of her in her need. But she was humble. She was meek. She sought out the answers. She sought out the man of God. He gave her instructions. She was humble and meek to follow the instructions. And if you've got a minister in your life right now, and you've got needs, and you've been going to God, if God's worked in your heart to go to that man or that woman who's your overseer, if they're showing you what to do, then if you're humble and follow out, God will make good on that word. Because God is faithful. And he will supply your need. He will not let you down. He will provide for you. God has met my needs time and time again. Every time I've gone to him, every time I've besought him, every time the thoughts that come into my heart, what I need to do, and I've done them, he has come through in great abundance, because he's a great provider. He doesn't just give you your need. He'll go over above. Because not only did their need get met to pay the debt, but they had enough to live on afterwards. And that's our God. That's what he does for his people when his people humble themselves. And then the next record I want to look at is how God worked in someone else to meet the needs of the man of God, and at the same time she got her need met. And we're going to go to 1 Kings. So we're staying in the Old Testament records there. I love these records. These are just great records. And they're great encouragement, because it just shows you the heart of God to see the needs of his people and to meet them. And God is a God of love and of mercy, and he's kind. So if you're listening to this right now and you're in a situation where it's difficult for you, it may not be a financial need, it may be a totally different need, God will still meet that need. He wants you to go to him. He wants you to trust in him. And when you do that, and then when you do what he puts in your heart to do, when you're doing what his word says for you to do, or when you're doing what your overseer is telling you to do, then your need will definitely get met because God is faithful. And in 1 Kings 17, we'll read this wonderful record of Elijah. And I know a lot of you guys know this record. But it's great to cover these records. It's great to go back and remind ourselves of our mighty God. How God had met the needs of his people. He met the needs of Abraham. He met the needs of Hagar when she was cast out. He took care. He's a caring God. He's a loving God. So anyway, in 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in that land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..." Right, let's stop there. So God told Elijah to let Ahab know that there won't be no rain. But God told Elijah where to go to get his need met. And Elijah was obedient to the word of God, and he went where God told him to go. And he got his need met until the supply dried up. And your supply might have dried up right now, but God's got another supply for you. God will never leave you or forsake you, not in your need. He'll never ever leave you or forsake you at any time, or in any situation, or in any area of your life when you trust him. He's there even when you're not trusting him, but he can't do nothing when you're not believing him. It's your faith and your trust in God that he goes to work. When we get anxious, when we start cursing our situation, when we start talking rubbish against it, we tie his hands. But we need to release God's hands to go to work for us through our faith and confession. We need to say and declare what the word of God says. So after the brook dried up, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..." Verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there." So he's told him where to go to get his need met. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose, he was obedient, he followed out what God was putting in his heart to do and telling him to do. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." She's saying, "Look, Elijah, this is all I got. And this is our last, and we're going to eat this, and that's it. That's the end of us." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. If you've got great needs right now, fear not. Don't worry, but trust in God, because he will meet your need. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son." So he was basically saying, honor God first. Put God first in this situation, because your supply is going to really be met. Your need is really going to be met. You're going to have a greater supply. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of the mill shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." There's a promise of God for this wonderful woman. Okay, and she was a wonderful woman because she believed the man of God. And God kept true to his word. See, and God will keep true to his promises. And when we call upon those promises in faith, in confidence and trust, then God will make good on his promises to us. Verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah." She was obedient, right? She done it with humility, meekness, and she was obedient. "And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of the mill wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things. See, Elijah spoke it, but it was God giving him the words to say. Elijah spoke forth the word of the Lord. And if God's working in you, and if God's working in your ministers that are encouraging you, then you've got to take their word like it's the word of God. And we can do that. Because God is always constantly at work in us, giving us not only his word of his word, but also inspires by his spirit what we need to say for a given need and situation. Verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sinners to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the woman whom I sojourned by slaying her? He was all a bit shooken up about this, right? In your situation, you could be shooken up right now. Don't worry, because help is on its way. You just trust God. Verse 21, and he, the man of God, Elijah, stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and cried unto the Lord. That's what you got to do. You got to cry unto God. You got to speak unto him. And said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto the mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. See, God will make good on his promises. And when we hold forth his word with faith and love, and when we act upon his word, when we follow instructions that are given to us from God, from the scriptures, or from a man or a woman of God, or a son of God or a daughter of God, when we do what God is leading us to do, then we will get our need met. We will get blessings, we'll have great testimonies to share. And God really just wants us to go to him. He wants you to know that he will supply every single need in your life. He doesn't want you to be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with God, he wants you to let your request be made known unto him. Right, God wants you to go boldly before his throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. Right, he wants you to ask him. You need to go to God. You have direct access to him. And the same God of Elijah and Elisha, who met the needs of these women, he will meet your need. Okay, our God is a God of abundance, he's a God of provision, he's a God of supply, he sees in order to provide for you, he's a God of all sufficiency, he's a God of love. And I just really wanted to encourage you to really go to God, trust him, do your part. You're to trust, you're to seek God, you're to do what he shows you to do, what his word shows you to do, what you may be instructed to do by someone with the Spirit of God in them. If you do these things, then your need will not go unmet. You'll have an abundance so that you can be a blessing to others also. So I just pray that this has encouraged you, this has helped you, and I just pray you have a great rest of the week, and just keep going to God. Know that he's with you. Don't become weary in well-doing. Keep your mind sharp. Focus your mind on God. Seek him. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he'll tell you the path to take. He'll tell you the course of action you need to do. And don't forget, all the promises of God are received by faith.